Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Online worship for Easter Day in the year of our Lord 2020 is not what any of us wished for. However, here we are, serving our community by observing the stay-at-home orders under which we are living during this COVID-19 pandemic. Before returning to the story of the day, I want to thank Charles Porter and Matthew Stainer, my clergy colleagues, and our wonderful singers for all they have done to make our worship today and in the weeks past possible. Our flower and altar guilds have been creative with the arrangements that could easily be moved as we recorded one service after another, frequently changing sets, as it were. More than that, I want to give a special shout out of thanks to Deborah Potter, who has donated hours and hours of her time splicing and editing these videotapes recorded by very small groups at different times in order to keep the groups that have to be together under essential occupation regulations necessarily small. Thank you, Deborah. And so to our familiar story of this extraordinary and wonderful day. In John's telling, it was Simon Peter and the other name unnamed but presumably beloved disciple John who raced to the empty tomb. Peter went in and first and saw the wrappings lying there. Perhaps he knew the story of Lazarus, who had to be unbound from his burial linens. Not so with Jesus. Then John came in. We're told he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand. Seeing, the saying goes, is believing. Understanding comes later. None of us were there to see the empty tomb, something that the gospeler acknowledges at the end of his story when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and who have yet come to believe." Faith precedes understanding. I came to conscious faith as a teenager with a powerful experience of what I have learned to call the presence of God, or perhaps the Holy Spirit. On one hand, it was not about Jesus' resurrection. On the other hand, the experience of being made new would not have taken on the import and meaning it had and has for me without the reality of Jesus' resurrection. I'm not trying to do an Anglican bob and weave here, the classical Anglican fudge, as it has sometimes been called, when we obfuscate instead of saying plainly what we mean. I'm saying that the world of my upbringing, the explicitly Christian evangelical context of that experience in prayer following preaching, I was bound to interpret in the light of our Christian story. I might not have used these words at the time, but the experience was entirely consistent with meeting the risen Christ. When we renew our baptismal vows, as we will in a few moments, and when we say, "I believe," it has the force not only of intellectual assent, but also the affirmation of trust. I put my trust in God, revealed in the story of creation, the story of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Church. I have not seen and yet believe, growing in understanding as I grow in my ability to trust in God for life, and growing in trust as I grow in trust, I grow in understanding, and so it is for all of us. Part of the way in which I measure growth in faith or growth in ability to trust in God for life comes from learning to recognize the hand of God at work in our lives and in the world about us. I think here of Mary, who when she met the risen Christ, did not know that it was Jesus. I know, and I suspect most of us know, what it's like to miss something important when the context suggests something else. At our community Thanksgiving dinner last year, a rabbi introduced me to one of his flock. I had a vague sense there was something I was meant to be getting but was missing. And that was because I did not immediately recognize my dermatologist, but he clearly recognized me. Mary was not expecting to see Jesus in that garden, and she didn't recognize him. He wasn't instantly recognizable. Until what? Until he called her by name. Mary. She knew his voice. Jesus is often not recognized in these resurrection stories until some characteristic act, calling by name, walking by water, breaking bread. And as with the linens of the burial shroud, this was no Lazarus-like resuscitation, but rather something new. The resurrected Jesus of the stories was often not recognized, but was clearly physical in some way. "Do not hold on to me," he says to Mary. And Mary came to understand what she was seeing. And so she preached the very first Easter sermon and the most characteristic early Christian proclamation. She went and announced to the disciples, and here it is, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." This pattern of faith, seeing, coming to some understanding, and then testifying to what we have seen and come to believe, has been my experience, and something like it also, I know, for many of you. God knows that in these days, the world needs people of real faith, people of God, people who can make sober decisions for the well-being of our communities, people who can mourn and lament where necessary, people who live with fundamental, reasonable, and holy hope for abundant life today and abundant life forever. And we can all do this as we grow in trust for the one who brings new life, even out of death, a trust founded and embodied in our proclamation, "I have seen the Lord." And so we say together one more time, "Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia."